Coming to you from the Coachella Valley in Southern California, in association with Anchor.fm, welcome to Is This Your Playlist? With your hosts Kedrick and Rissa. My name is Joey, and this evening's playlist will begin now.
Hello, this is Kedrick Hubbert, and I am here on Is This Your Playlist, and I am joined once again by my phenomenally awesome co-host, Rissa. Hello, Rissa.
Hello, Kedrick. Hello, listeners.
How are you today?
I'm good today, thanks. How about you?
Good. You know, life happens on life's terms, and things happen, and, you know, debit cards disappear. What can you do?
I don't know.
So I'm trying not to to think about it too much. But today we're going to be talking about classic rock from the 90s. And this is yet another one of Risa's phenomenal ideas that she brings to this podcast. Thank you. We did an episode, I think it was episode 66. And it was classic rock of the 60s. And we're going to do 60s and 90s. And then, of course, I changed it back like I always do. And now we're doing the 90s. And it was kind of a labor of love for me. I know, Rissa, you said that it was kind of easy for you. You had them in your head already. But me, I was just like, wait, there was too much 90s. That's what the 90s were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Along with, like you were saying earlier, like TLC and... If somebody said to me, describe the 90s, I would have said Nirvana, boy bands, and Spice Girls.
And Spice Girls. Oh, for sure. That's, you know, definitely, I mean, 90s music.
Those were definitely three big factors of this decade. So before we get on to that, I just want to say rest in peace to one of the greatest musicians that has ever walked this planet in his girlfriend's heels, by the way. Mm-hmm. Prince Rogers Nelson, he passed away on April 21st, 2016, and he left a legacy.
Oh my gosh, did he ever.
And I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts just because I'm just kind of not bored, but I'm trying to get ideas and, you know, just kind of see how other people do it. And this one called Totally 80s, they did one on Prince and, you know, talked about all the proteges. Well, Prince didn't say proteges. Prince said associates. He did not like the word protege. It's just Prince. I was working that day at Trader Joe's the day that he died. And this lady was on the aisle where I was, and she went like that, and I turned her because it startled me, and I said, what happened? And she goes, Prince died. And I was like, no, dude, no, that's a hoax. Yeah. And she turned her phone around, and it was like a credible place, not like, you know, Fox News or something. It was like,
sure.
And that was the rest of the day. That's all people talked about, the register, everybody. And it was just like, he was eternal. He was
absolutely,
you know what I mean? Yeah, that was, yeah. And it was kind of cool to go back and, you know, go through his music. Cause on the other podcast, World of Music, I actually did one on him and you know, the associates.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of good going back through that music because he was amazing. He was amazing.
Absolutely.
And another passing that just like came out of nowhere. For you people who grew up in the 80s, I mean, if you really were into, you know, like European 80s music, there was a guy that came out in, his first single came out in 1986. He had done a Levi's ad in 1985, and his name was Nick Kamen, and he passed away on the 4th of May.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that you had, your friends were talking about it on Twitter, right?
Yeah. So my UK friends were talking about it, mentioned it on Twitter. So when I woke up, you know, I saw a couple of tweets about it, and I was like, holy smokes, you know, it was just, I mean, really, like, not even in my head often, but I mean, his song, his first hit, Each Time You Break My Heart, you know, when I made mixtapes or mix CDs, that song was pretty much on all of them, on each one that I've made. And so every once in a while, his song pops up on, you know, on my iPod when I'm listening. But yeah, just so weird to have these people just jolted back into your memory. And so, I mean, yeah, 59 is young. I mean, it's like, so yeah, so that was.
I mean, I remember when he came out because, you know, obviously Madonna was top of the game in 1986, and she wrote the song for him. And if you listen to it, it's classic 1986 Madonna Stephen Bray production. The music is just, I mean, it's just that, dun, 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 you know, that Madonna sound. And, you know, he had number five in the UK, and when I was doing the research about it, I was just doing it really quickly today, actually, just so I'd have something to talk about, some of his. He put out four albums, which I only knew about two. Or I'm sorry, he put out five albums, and all four of them actually were top 10 in Italy. He was really big in Italy for some reason. And Loving You's Sweeter Than Ever, which is a cover of a Temptation song, I believe. Oh, four top song. That was number one in Italy, and he had a song called Tell Me that Madonna sang on for the second album. That was number one as well. Each Time You Break My Heart was number two, and then he did another one. This is one of the ones I remember. He did a song called I Promise Myself, and that one's kind of famously covered by Dead or Alive, did it on their Fragile album. And I mean, like you said, he's kind of not on the consciousness, but he always kind of was. Like when I was putting together things like that, because Each Time You Break My Heart was, I mean, it was the song of 1986, 87.
It was a great song, yeah. It still is a great song.
He was one of the first model, model singers, you know?
And, yeah.
I mean, did you think he was...
The hyphenate.
Did you think he was good looking? Because I thought he was kind of... It's not that he was not attractive, but he just had a strange look, like a different look, I guess.
I think I thought he was attractive, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was the style of the time, you know, the slick back hair and, you know, the sort of baggy suits and, you know, whatever. And I'm a huge fan of, you know, British men in suits singing anyway. So yeah, he totally fell into that realm for me. Maybe I haven't mentioned that before. We'll have to do an episode on that, maybe.
I'm writing that down, right?
Yeah.
So today we are going to talk about our favorite classic rock songs from the 90s. And when we come back, we're going to start that off. And just keep it here because you're in for an awesome one today here on Is This Your Playlist. So we'll be right back.
Rock on!
Today is, we're recording this actually on Mother's Day Sunday. And, you know, besides our music loves, you know, Risa and I also have, you know, the distinction of, you know, both of our mothers have passed. And so, you know, hers sooner than, you know, mine's been like eight years and Risa's was in January. So today when I woke up, I was kind of like, oh, it is? Okay. I mean, I didn't know really what to do. I just kind of like, I closed my eyes and just said like a, you know, a little prayer. And that being said, hopefully, I know they're not listening to this, but Donnie Wahlberg and Mark Wahlberg, if you're listening to this podcast, Risa and I want to wish you happy Mother's Day. And we know that Alma Wahlberg, the, you know, the maternal monster from the Wahlberg clan, passed away last month. And I actually got to meet her because I used to follow New Kids on the Block, and it was 1990 September. They were playing at Dodger Stadium, and they stayed at the Bellage Hotel, and I was able to kind of stay around because I kind of looked like I could have been in one of the bands, right? So she's near me, and I said, "Hi, Mrs. Wahlberg," and she goes, "Hi, honey." She's like, "It's Alma," and I was like, "Hi, Alma," and she goes, "Who are you?" And I was like, "I'm nobody." She's like, "You're nobody?" I go, "No." She's like, "You're not in one of the bands or the entourage?" And I was like, "No." And she goes, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I'm a fan." And she goes, "You're a fan of my son's band?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh, okay. Glad you're here." It was just the funniest thing. I just remember her just being like, "You're here for my son's band?"
Like, that's funny.
You know, and she held that together. And I, you know, I'm sure that they were devastated because they are the two youngest. And yeah, so I hope so. I, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to the Wahlbergs. And one more little thing for me. So I might be, you know, I think I told you, Larissa, that I went back to the airport, and I've been there for, this is going to be week 3 coming up, and I'm actually going to, okay, when the airport starts to, when the planes start to slow down, the number of them, they will send people off to other airports that need help, okay? So I have been put on the list. I am going to Austin, Texas.
Awesome.
On the 19th, I believe, of May through June 12th.
That's very cool.
And I've never been there before. So, we're getting a per diem. They're taking care of the hotel. And I'm going to work at another airport. I'm nervous, to be honest with you, because I'm very comfortable here. But I'm looking at it as an adventure and someplace I've never been. And
Austin is a big music town.
And yeah, I heard that Austin is that. Well, I mean, dude, if I was going during South by Southwest, I'd be like, yeah, but I don't think it's happening. That would be awesome. Yeah, I heard that, you know, between Houston, Dallas, and Austin is the eclectic music part of it. And I'm excited.
Good. That's awesome.
So
that's very exciting.
So we might be doing one direct from Austin. This is Kedrick, and this is your playlist. We're going to do one on country this week, okay? That was my bad Bakersfield country. Welcome back to Is This Your Playlist? Risa and I are here today, and we're talking about classic rock from the 90s. This was one of Risa's ideas, and I love her for that. So, we were talking earlier before we started recording, and, we said that, like, we could have, I mean, when you think of the 90s, obviously, you think of, like, for me, I think Seattle grunge, boy bands, and Spice Girls. That's what I think the 90s is. So when it came down to these lists, it's like Risa had said, "Oh, I'd love to put TLC Waterfalls," because that's a 90s song, but like it was from the, you know, it's in the confines of rock, but there was so much rock. Rock was the 90s. So.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So my first choice, and I guess I could, if you want to describe the 90s one more thing, definitely Britpop. That stuff just blew up overseas. And there was the famous, you know, rivalry between Oasis, the Gallagher brothers, and my first choice, Blur. Yes.
Woohoo!
Literally. I remember hearing that the first time, and I'm like, kind of like, I shook my head like, huh? But it was so cool. So Blur was made up of Damon Albarn, Alex James, Graham Coxon, and Dave Rowntree. And they had 11 top 10s in the UK. including There's No Other Way, which was their first single. And that also got to number five in the US. My personal favorite song, Girls and Boys, came out, and that was number five. And that one was funny because it sounded straight from 1985.
For sure.
I mean, Girls and Boys used to get played on like 80s channels, like 80s Sirius XM channels. I'm like, no, dude, it's 93. It's 93. But they, you know, they just had their hand on the pulse. Song two, that was number two. They had a song called Coffee and TV, which was number 11 in the UK. And their, you know what it was? It was their only number one, and it was called Country House. And it came out in 1995, and there was a very famous chart battle between Blur's Country House and Oasis' Roll With It. Now, Blur's was supposed to come out the week after Oasis, but they put it up a week to see Blur.
Ah.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a big freaking deal. And Blur won.
Was that a Christmas battle? Or because no. I know the charts usually at Christmas in Britain are usually notorious for the battling it out, but it wasn't a Christmas battle.
I think the Christmas singles were just kind of like they just put them out, but it wasn't like Spice Girls versus Robbie Williams or Spice Girls versus Take That, because Spice Girls won it three times in a row. So, and they're the only ones to do that, Christmas number one. But yeah, so Blur won Country House, and it's a great song.
Wow.
They're a great group, you know. I personally have never seen them live, which kind of bums me out. But, and then, you know, of course, Damon, the heartthrob of the group, he did, you know, the side project Gorillaz.
Yeah.
That was a huge success. I had friends that went to see them at the Wiltern, and I guess there was a big curtain up and the cartoons were on the curtain and they're playing behind the curtain, the band.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
And I mean, I have friends that are just, they're insane for Gorillaz. I'm like, okay, I mean, I like the song Dare because Sean Ryder from Happy Monday sings on it, but you know, Gorillaz is kind of like, but you know what, they have six number one UK albums. I mean, so they're the best as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they got the Brit in 2012 for outstanding contribution to music. And, so I had written this down. So Country House versus Roll With It. Country House sold 274,000 copies. Roll With It sold 216,000. So it was literally like 50, like almost 50,000 different. On Spotify, they have over 7 million monthly listeners. So,
wow.
And they came back a couple years ago, and they've been pretty quiet, you know, this past few years. So yeah, so Blur, that's mine. Risa, what do you have?
All right. So my songs, you know, my list is all rock. And yeah, it's just these songs that I love. I love, you know, catchy melodies and hooks and things like that, or a great chorus, or you know, a great bridge or whatever. I just love the musicality. And these all just popped into my head. So the first one is actually a collective. It is Girl Rockers of the 90s. So the song I chose is definitely You Ought to Know by Alanis. So she was pulled all of the females, you know, with the rage rocker tune, and you know, great melody, great lyrics. But she's the one that I chose out of a list of girl rockers. So you know, Fiona Apple with Criminal, PJ Harvey, who I absolutely love, Luscious Jackson was a band that I discovered, and I don't remember how that happened. It could have just been from the radio that I heard a song and just ended up going for the album, but they have this one song that there's a lyric that I I mean, ever since I've heard it, like, I, you know, it was on my MySpace page as my, you know, as my motto or whatever it is. I put it on Facebook. I put it on Twitter so many times, but it's a lyric that says, when I'm about to go crazy, because I'm still living here, I just get my friends together and we dance, dance, dance. I just love that. It's just so true. It's just like when you're down and when you're, you know, just fed up, it's just, you crank up the music. It's exactly what you do. So my first selection was is the conglomerate of the girl rockers of the 90s. And I chose You Ought to Know to represent and lead that off. So there you have it.
And why did you choose that?
You ought to know.
Well, see, this is one of those times when I was like, yay, we thought the same thing, because that's my on my list.
Is it really?
It is, actually. Yeah, so in my research, I remember when she came out, and I think everybody pretty much collectively thought, wow, this girl is mad at somebody. You know what I mean?
But the thing about it is we could all relate to that. Like, we've all felt that, you know, about a breakup. And, you know, it's like, yeah.
So I remember it came out, and, you know, I mean, I think everybody, you know, had a collective when it said, and it was a slap in the face how quickly I was replaced, and are you thinking of me when you beep her? I mean, I was like, she's mad. And but it was the first single from her third album. So I didn't know this for probably about 5 years after she came out. I didn't know that she had two other albums in Canada.
And they were, she was like, a pop princess.
Yeah, she was like Debbie Gibson.
Yeah.
So I saw the video, and it's her in the big hair, and she's doing this dance in the, you know, dance in the,
yep,
in the alleyway with the boys. And I was like,
total pop princess. Yeah.
So, you know, it came from Jagged Little Pill, and that album was number one in 13 countries. It sold 33 million copies. For Grammys, it was nominated for 9 and won 5, including Record of the Year. And she was kind of viewed as the 90s version of Carole King.
Hmm.
You know, like Carole King's Tapestry and Alanis' Jagged Little Pill. I mean, different layers of, you know, raw anger and frank portrayal of female sexuality, but still. So
interesting. I didn't know that.
And also, what I didn't know about this is that Dave Navarro and Flea play guitar and bass on that song.
And Taylor Hawkins played drums.
Oh, really? Okay. See, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that. I love Taylor Hawkins. I love Taylor Hawkins. I think
he was in her band for a little bit.
Oh, okay. And she co-wrote it with Glenn Ballard. And I know Desmond Child had something to do with the production of the album, and he was famous for doing a lot of Kiss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so 1996, she won the Grammy for Best Rock Song and Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. And it's number 12 on the VH1 100 Greatest Songs of the 90s. And when Taylor Swift did her 1989 tour, every night she would bring somebody on stage and sing their song, and one night she brought Alanis up and they sang You Ought to Know.
And
the general consensus was a lot of her fans probably didn't even know who she was.
Probably not. Yeah,
you know. And I think that happened the night at the Staples Center. I think that happened the night before we went to see her, because the night we went to see her, Ryan Tedder from One Republic came out, and they did Counting Stars. And and she's never said it, because everybody wanted to know who it was. But we know. But when I found out who it supposedly was, I was like, what? So if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, word on the street is this song is about Dave Coulier, aka Uncle Joey, on Full House.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, what? Huh? Really? And apparently I was reading this in one of the articles that Bob Saget said that he was there the night that she called and called him during dinner. You know how that line in the song says, I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. It was a slap in the face. And Bob Saget said that he was there when she called.
Whoa.
But, and he's never said it. She's never said it, but I mean, yeah. So, cause yeah, crazy. But she was amazing. That was an amazing record. But I think it was one of those things where it, you know, if you come out in the general consciousness, angry girl, when you actually get past that and then you turn into happy girl, like, thank you. And, you know, people were kind of like, they were like, the shift was a little bit too, you know, much, but Jagged Little Pill was, I mean, every song was good. And I saw her on that tour. Here's the thing. She played the Greek. Okay. By the time she got to the Greek, she was huge already. So you know about concerts. They will book you so far in advance because they don't know what it's going to be. So by the time she got to the Little Greek, she was huge. She should have been playing like Staples Center or the Forum or whatever. And we got her at the Greek and she was absolutely amazing. Wow. Absolutely amazing. She had the long black hair and she was doing her thing and she was amazing. And I still think she's amazing to this day. And she did a greatest hits album a few, like probably, I think 2010. And she did a cover of Seal's Crazy.
Oh, wow.
And it is amazing. Oh my God, it's amazing. So, so yeah, so thank you for the segue to my Alanis.
You're welcome.
And you wanna give us your next one?
Oh, sure. Sure. So, this one is really interesting. It's a song that I heard. I was at a dance actually, and somebody, like, you know, this isn't a typical dance song, but somebody put this on, and this guy just came out of nowhere, just wearing these jeans with, you know, holes in them and this tight shirt and these Doc Martens, and just totally was like in his own element, in his own realm. And I've never forgotten it. And every time I hear this song, I think of him. And I don't even know who the guy was, but the song is Firestarter by The Prodigy.
Yes.
That song is so, that is such a fucking killer song. Oops, sorry. That is such a killer song.
You can say that.
It's not a dance song, but I just, you know, the guy, I think his name was Keith, the singer in the band.
Liam Howlett, because he's married to one of the girls in All Saints.
Oh, okay. But with the, you know, with the piercings and the dark eyeliner and just like he just seemed full of rage as well. But I don't know what it is, something about that song, just, well, I mean, I know what it is. I'm thinking about this other guy that was dancing to it, but yeah, it's a killer song. It's a killer song. The Prodigy, love it.
They had hits, and they were the elder statesmen of that kind of sound, I believe, in England. You know, I'm trying to think what they had another big song too, Firestarter. But Firestarter is like, it's just a Firestarter. That's how I looked at it. It's like that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like frantic, but
absolutely frantic. You're right.
Yeah, because I know that the lead singer's name's Liam Howlett, because he's married to Natalie Appleton from All Saints, and Nicole Appleton, her sister in All Saints, was married to Liam Gallagher, famously left Robbie Williams for Liam Gallagher.
Oh, wow.
Fun fact. How do you leave
totally Robbie a fun Williams? Fact.
How do you leave Robbie Williams for Liam Gallagher? I don't know. And they were rivals too, so that was a big thing. So Robbie has this song on one of his albums called I want to say it's called either, it's either Sexed Up or Come Undone, and it's about Nicole leaving him. And yeah.
Okay.
Well, those British pop kids, you know, they're all just crazy, you know?
Well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I like that story.
Yeah. You know me, I've got a million of them. So I'll do one more before we go to the break.
Okay.
So, in the '90s for me, was the decade that, you know, I graduated high school in 88. So I was technically a grown up. In the mid 90s, drugs entered into my world and, so I did drugs for 10 years, pretty solid. And, you know, I've been good for quite a while now. And so this song, the song that I chose, it's a very fun sounding ditty song about crystal meth addiction. All right. It's called Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind.
Do, do, do. Yeah, I love that.
I didn't know that. For the longest time, I had no idea. Because that's one of those songs you don't really listen to the words except for the hook.
But he says it right in the song.
I know, but
okay.
I want something else to get me through this semi-charmed time a lot, you know. But like, there's versions that they had to do different versions for the radio that took out the kind of
doing crystal meth lift you up until you break it won't stop.
Oh wow, who knew? So it was the debut single from their debut album, and Stephen Jenkins was the lead singer and the writer, and he was one of those guys that was viewed as like, he was like the Bryan Adams of the '90s, you know, bands like that, because he was. You know, he was a handsome guy, and he famously dated Vanessa Carlton,
yep,
for years. And if you don't know who Vanessa Carlton is, she did that song, Thousand Miles. Yeah, A Thousand Miles. Mm-hmm. And very funnily recreated in the movie White Chicks with the Wayans brothers. So he said that Stephen Jenkins said that he wrote this song after he went to a Primus concert and saw his friends doing meth and just how their demeanor changed to like up, 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 up. And then it was like down, 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 down. So that's where the line, you know, I want something else to get me through this semi-charmed kind of life. And like we were saying earlier, it had the doot, doot, doot. And that was written, that was influenced by Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side. And that was one of the, first kind of like rock rap influence songs. I mean, we know that we had Walk This Way. That was the granddaddy of them all. But this was before Limp Bizkit, you know, this song. You know, he always, Stephen Jenkins said in interviews that he kind of laughed that people misinterpreted this song to be a happy summertime jam, you know, and, you know, it did very well for them. It got number one on the U.S. modern rock tracks and mainstream top 40, and is number two in Canada, number eight in Australia, and a very lowly number 33 in the U.K.
Wow.
U.K., they have over 288 million monthly listeners on Spotify, and you know they've been pretty quiet lately. But every so often they come out with, you know, they're doing a show with, you know, like Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth and those kind of '90s era
groups. Right,
and,
right.
You know, he's produced music for Vanessa Carlton. I don't know if they're dating still, but, you know, they were famously dating for a while. And actually, you know what? I am going to take back what I said. The actual song Semi-Charmed Life has over 288 million streams on Spotify.
Whoa.
So it came
out. I was going to ask, is that for the whole band? That's great. But for that song, that's outrageous.
Well, for the band, they have 4,475,630 monthly listeners.
Wow. So, but just that song, that's crazy.
And actually, to be honest with you, I did this research yesterday, and that's where I got the number 288,148,834. Now today, mm-hmm. 288,558,398. So in one day, they've had 41 million streams of that song, or 41.
Crazy.
So
that's awesome.
So that's my pick. We are gonna take a little break. I'm gonna have some electrolyte water because I feel kind of froggy. And we're going to come back, and Reese is going to start us off with more of our classic rock of the 90s episode of Is This Your Playlist? And we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Hey, playlisters, welcome back. It's Kedrick and Risa here on Is This Your Playlist?
Is it?
And today we are, is it? Today we are, on this episode, we are talking about classic rock songs of the 90s.
Yes.
So we've talked about some girl rockers, and I mentioned, Kedrick and I both mentioned some British rockers. So next on my list, I am going to go with Loser by Beck.
Yes.
This song, it's just a bunch of phrases and words. And I mean, just like not even nonsensical, but it just doesn't make sense, but it's a great, great song. I remember hearing Get Crazy with the Cheese Whiz. That lyric always sticks with me. But this song, I had a breakup and I made a mixtape, which was really just one song, and it was Loser.
The whole song was on the whole tape?
The whole tape was just this one song with Loser. Flip it over, Loser.
I love that.
Flip it over again, Loser. It was just the same song over and over and over and over and over again. And that's how I got through the breakup.
That was amazing.
That was my Alanis moment.
That is freaking amazing.
Yeah. So
listeners, you can't see me, but I'm giving her like the bow. Like the bow.
That's there's just something about that song. You know, he says, you know, I'm a loser in Spanish. He says, get crazy with the Cheese Whiz. You know, I love it. It was such a different song, you know, coming out at that time. There wasn't really anything else like that, I don't think, you know, thinking like the grunge, you know, it wasn't really, to me, wasn't like pigeonholed, definable, you know, but you knew it was a song from the 90s. And so that's my pick, and I'm sticking with it. I'm gonna see if I can find that tape.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. If you do, I want to take a picture so I can put it up on our socials.
I'll give it to you. You can have it.
So Loser, you know what? It's like, I remember too when it came out in 94, and we were kind of like, I was like, who's this homeless guy? Totally. Just kind of saying, you know, just like you said, just like crazy stuff. And so I open the door, I'm a loser, baby. And the funny thing about Loser is that is absolutely not indicative of anything he did after that, because we just kind of, I wrote him off as a one hit wonder. I was like, who, who's this homeless dude? But like the things that he put out after that, it's like, wow, he had us fooled. Okay. He had us
totally.
because he is like prolific. I mean, he is a he's one of those. I'm not going to say it because I don't want them fair gaming me on my podcast. and he was, I believe people tried to say that he was the brother of the Hansons, but I don't think he's the brother of the Hansons.
So. No, his name is Beck Hansen. But I think he's Hansen with an E-N and they're Hansen with a not E-N. So, yeah.
My next choice is, he is amazing, this guy. He is still to this day one of the sexiest men of color in the world. His daddy was white. His mama was on the Jeffersons. And his name, ladies and gentlemen, is Lenny Kravitz. And the song that I picked as my choice for the 90s is Are You Gonna Go My Way?
Yes, I am gonna go his way.
Yes. He was one of the few men of color that I probably would go the distance with. Anyway, so so this song has 201 million streams on Spotify. It was the first single from his album of the same name. It was his third album, 1993. It got to number 12 in the US and number one in the UK and Australia. It was a big hit for him over there. The song got number one in Australia and number one in the US mainstream rock chart, number two in Iceland, New Zealand, and the Hot Modern Rock chart. And it wasn't available. Okay, it wasn't eligible for the Billboard 100 because it technically was only airplay released over in America, so it couldn't chart for some reason. I don't know what that was about.
Bizarre.
It was number four in the UK and France, and it's kind of considered one of his greatest hits as an artist.
Absolutely.
It was definitely one of those anthems, and you know what? Lenny rocked the freaking house. And I just remember when I first saw it and I was just like, this guy is, I mean, Let Love Rule obviously was the first one I saw, and
right,
I kind of was like, that one was a grower, like I had to kind of let that one sink, but like Are You Gonna Go My Way is absolutely amazing. And some fun facts about it. I love the video too, because he's got the girl drummer. She's mm-hmm. got a big fro. She's like, bram, bram. And he was just, God, he was so sexy. And Metallica covered it on the VMAs in 2003. Wow. Robbie Williams sang it with Tom Jones on his Reload album. And this is my favorite one. On the Spice Girls 2008 reunion tour concert, Mel B sang it as her solo thing, and she
did. She really?
It was the shit.
Oh my gosh!
It was awesome. Kinda,
those sound amazing.
Yeah, you should go on YouTube. Maybe I'll send you the link.
Gotta find those. Yeah.
And it was remixed, and it's the opening theme song in the Gran Turismo 3. I guess it's a game.
Okay.
It was diamond certified in Brazil. It sold 500,000 downloads, and it was nominated for Best Rock Solo. It was nominated for the Grammy for Best Rock Vocal Performance Solo, Best Rock Song, and nominated for Best Art Direction at the VMAs, and it won MTV VMA Best Male Artist, 1990.
Wow.
And wow. He had, Fly Away, American Woman was amazing with Heather Graham in the video. He was famously married to America's sweetheart at the time, Lisa Bonet, and they have an amazing daughter, and her name escapes me.
Zoe Kravitz.
What is it?
Zoe Kravitz.
That's right. That's right. See, I'm so glad you're here to finish my sentences. he's amazing. I almost saw him live in 2003, he did a show in LA, and Pink opened for him.
Wow.
And that was when, that was during her I'm Not Dead period. So the kind of the punk rock album. So I've never seen him live, but I would love to. So he's been quiet the last few years. So I'm sure something's going to happen. Yeah. So that's mine. So Risa, what's next on yours?
Well, let me just rewind a little bit. I'm reading the Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's. I'm reading her autobiography. Mm-hmm. And she talks about when the Go-Go's were recording their first album, how their producer wanted to pigeonhole them as like a 60s girl group, like, you know, lots of harmonies and things like that. And so she was outside of the recording studio and kept, you know, she kept seeing this guy and, you know, ended up talking to him because they would always take a smoke break at the same time. And she was lamenting about, you know, them trying to pigeonhole her. And the guy was like, same here. They want me to, you know, be somebody that I'm not. And turns out it was Lenny Kravitz. So he talked about the record company wanting to pigeonhole him as, you know, R&B or as a rapper. And, you know, he's like, I'm a rocker. And so she mentions that and says that she was really, really happy to see that he stuck with his guns and became so successful. So, so there's that.
I'm actually listening to her autobiography on Audible.
Yeah. So. It's really good. I like her.
How far like into her are you?
I'm sorry?
How far into the book are you?
So the Go-Go's have already broken up and it's the aftermath of that. That's where I am.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to the first single yet.
Okay. Well, I didn't spoil it because I'm sure you already knew they broke up.
All right, cool. What's on your next on your list?
So this next song holds a very special place in my heart. Actually, the video, it's mostly the video. But the song is No Rain by Blind Melon. It is a great song. But in the video, and I think I may have talked about this before and I'm not sure, but the video opens up with this little bee girl. She's dressed like a bee. And she does this, you know, she's awkward and she does this tap dance and nobody applauds for her. So she's all sad and she goes wandering the streets and she's dancing for all these people and just getting no love at all, no reaction, no love. And she's totally down in the dumps. So she's wandering around and then she's wandering around this field and she opens up this gate and there are all sorts of people, big and small, you know, short, tall, men, women, just all bees, and they're all dancing and just like the love. And so she just goes and finds her, you know, she finds her people, she finds her community. And when I had cancer and I went to a support group, that is exactly how I felt. Because people were talking about and sharing their stories and I'm just sitting there just nodding like, oh my God, me too. And I totally felt, and I stood up and I said that, I said, I feel like the bee girl from the Blind Melon video, that I have like found my people, you know, dancing in the field. So it was really, the video holds a special place, obviously, but it's, you know, the song, you know, the song and the video obviously go together. So that's my next pick. No Rain by Blind Melon.
I mean, that's you know, that's a classic video thing, the bee girl. Yeah. I mean if you watch music videos at all in your lifetime, you know that video, and that's that's what it is linked to forever. Yeah, I miss videos. Well, I mean, I miss MTV.
Same.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and they talk about MTV and stuff, and it was such a quintessential part of my teenage life. You know? Yeah. I never had it personally, which people are amazed by that I never had it. You know, moms didn't want to get it for me, but, you know, my sister had it. So I would babysit all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'll babysit for you. VHS tape, cord, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I do.
So I have one more on my list, and it's sort of like yours, your conglomerate, but it's a weird one. Okay, so I was telling Risa earlier that in 1991 and 92, I lived in Bakersfield, where I grew up, Bakersfield, California. And I worked at a record store, and at the time it was called Music Plus. And I can't remember what it changed to after that, but it was Music Plus then. And so I kind of got, you know, some of my honorable mentions. I'll honorable mention them later. But I was there when Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik album came out. And I wasn't too big of a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. It's not that I didn't like them, but it's sort of like I had to kind of draw the line. You know, it's like I never was really into like Red Hot Chili Peppers or 10,000 Maniacs or Everything But the Girl. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, and believe me, I liked everybody. Okay.
Right.
Everybody. And so Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out, and it was, you know, Give It Away was great. Under the Bridge, I mean, I heard Under the Bridge maybe like a million times, and it's sort of like, yeah, I get it. I get what it was, but, you know, Flea is an amazing bass player. Kiedis is an okay singer. John Frusciante was a great guitar player when he would let himself be. Chad Smith was a very sexy drummer. You know, when Frusciante left, Dave Navarro came and he left Jane's Addiction. And that was a weird time for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because it was sort of like Dave kind of didn't go with them. I don't know. It was weird. I don't know if you remember when he was with them, but even the music changed.
Aeroplane. Yeah.
Aeroplane. I love that song, but it was so
same.
It was so not them, which is, you know, I think it was Dave's influence. But anyway, so that whole story lead up is, so they went on the Blood Sugar Sex Magik tour, okay? So when they were putting the tour together, they were still booked for theaters. And it was the original lineup, and, you know, Kiedis, Flea, Frusciante, and Chad Smith. And so Anthony Kiedis saw a Smashing Pumpkins video and called their manager and booked them for the tour. So it was Red Hot Chili Peppers and Smashing Pumpkins, okay. So then an old Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer called Anthony Kiedis and said, hey, can my friend's new band open for your tour? Anthony Kiedis says, what's their name? The gentleman replied, Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Cool.
So it started, you know, the tour started off Red Hot Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam. Okay. So as the tour, as the albums got bigger and they were booking arenas, the promoter said, we need to get somebody bigger than this Pearl Jam group. Let's just cook on that for a second. Bigger than this Pearl Jam group. Okay. So they got kicked off the tour, and then they added another group from Seattle who was just starting off. I can't even, I'm trying to find a joke about it. Nirvana.
Whoa. What?
So it was Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was supposed to be Red Hot Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana. But
wow.
Billy Corgan dated Courtney Love, so he told Anthony Kiedis, we're not going to play if they play. So Anthony said, bye-bye. So no more Smashing Pumpkins. And then they said, well, we have to get another group. Can we get that Pearl Jam group back again? So when I saw them at LA Sports Arena, it was Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam.
Oh my goodness.
And here's the thing. like nobody cared. Like nobody like cared. They were just like, oh, who are these bands? Blah blah blah. It's like, and then like 3 months later, they were huge. It just shows you like where like an opening band will blow up. I mean, Nirvana and Pearl Jam supporting Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, it's so kind of funny. Blows my mind, you know? And
wild.
And John Frusciante actually left before the tour ended. I mean, I only went to the show because like one of my friends wanted to go and like didn't want to go by himself. And I was just like, okay, I'll go. I mean, it was a lot of mosh pitting and all that kind of nonsense, but we were,
of course,
but the music was loud. And I mean, I was trying to remember if Nirvana even sang Smells Like Teen Spirit. They had to have, I would think, but I don't remember. I remember Pearl Jam being like Jeremy, and they were very earnest. But they sang three songs. I mean, you know how opening bands are. It's like they sang three songs and they were gone. It's like,
oh my gosh.
So yeah, so that's
wild.
So that's my 90s classic rock thing. And you know, those were the days when they did have those tours. So if you did like all three bands or all four bands, you know, you were set.
You scored, yeah, definitely. So, wow.
So you got one more for us?
I've got my honorable mentions. Well, yeah, I can move one of these up. Actually, yeah, because
you can go. Let's do honorable mentions because, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'll run through my little list. So first is Epic, the song Epic by Faith No More. It's a jam. It is such a jam. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's all I can say. Next on my honorable mentions list, which could have easily gone into my top list, but it's Down in It and Closer, both of those songs by Nine Inch Nails. Again, grooves, jams, and I love a song with a good groove. And both of these songs, even though they're hard rock, you know, fall into that classic hard rock category, the groove is just too much. And finally, and I put this one in honorable mention because it is every single song by Rage Against the Machine. Every single song by Rage Against the Machine. Yes. See, I mean, Killing in the Name of, I mean, look, everything about this band, and I could have just done an entire list on their songs. The oh my God, the I can't even put it into words, everything that I love about them. It's, you know, the lyrics, the timing of the lyrics and the timing of, you know, of them speaking out and speaking up and calling out. And it's just, I mean, Killing in the Name of is a song that could be released yesterday. I mean, it's so relevant. I mean, all of their songs are just so politically and human, you know, humanely aware. And I love how in their songs they do these name drops. And like, I mean, there were names that I had to write down and like actually go look up because I'm like, who is this? Who is that? And so props, major props to them that they get the honorable mention of every single song. Every single song.
Now
the end.
Now this will probably make you laugh. I don't know if it will or not, but they were another line drawer. I was like, I just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, I mean, Tom Morello, great guitar player, and I know he was great in was he in Soundgarden or Audio
Slave?
He was in Audio Slave.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember when, yeah, I remember when they came, you know, when they were big. I mean, their fans were just serious. You know what I mean? They were very serious. So for my list, it's got a few. Here's the thing, the 90s, like, as far as like classic rock, I mean, there were so many different like genres of it. I mean,
you could
go from like a song like, you know, Enter Sandman by Metallica. That was the one that broke them big. You can go from that song to like by the Crash Test Dummies. And there was everything in between. And that's two of them. So if you were on step, on point, on listen to British stuff in the early 90s, you did not escape EMF, Unbelievable, and Jesus Jones, International Bright Young Thing, and Right Here, Right Now.
Yeah.
They were the Blur and Oasis of the early 90s.
Wow.
And then, so we talked about their guitar player earlier, but you know, Jane's Addiction, Been Caught Stealing,
mm-hmm.
absolutely amazing. Just, you know, they're another one of those bands that was kind of like brushed off as kind of like novelty or weird. And then Jane Says came out and it was like, these guys can play, you know. Dave Navarro, he is a self-promotion whore, but he was great in that band. And Perry Farrell, if we didn't have Perry Farrell, there would be no Lollapalooza. So,
mm-hmm.
you know. And their drummer, Steven something, he's cute. And so, you know, I try not to kind of put, you know, 80s bands that went to the 90s, except for Metallica. But this song, I feel like this song was the 90s personified, and it blew this group up big. They're from Atlanta, and Losing My Religion by R.E.M. That song was humongous, and that blew them up big. And it was it was another one of those situations where, like, it was like, oh my god, I love R.E.M. It's like, I'm sorry, where were you when Finest Work song came out in 1984?
Sure, exactly. Well, yeah,
and The One I Love and all that. But yeah, Losing My Religion was just huge. And I mean, Celebrity Skin by Hole, that's really the only song I like by her. Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes was amazing.
Yeah. That was a great song, yeah.
And this song, like, I didn't really like it then, but I kind of like it now because the group is so good. But When I Come Around by Green Day was
amazing.
And if you think about it, Green Day were punk rock then, and like the biggest punk rock thing they could have done for them as a group was release that slow one, the Time of Your Life. That was the most punk rock thing that they could have done, because that was so not them, but it was such a big hit.
Yeah, really big hit.
And they just got better. Green Day, I mean, when American Idiot came out, I was like, okay, I'm okay, yes. Billy Joe Orange.
Yeah, so, I saw that at the Pantages. It was good. It was really good.
Oh, was it?
And for the encore, they all came out with acoustic guitars and sang Good Riddance, Time of Your Life, and I started crying. Oh. It was just such a moving experience. Like, they're all, it's like when they sing Seasons of Love by Rent, you know, in the Rent, you know, they all just stand out there and they just sing. It just like makes me cry. But it was, yeah, American Idiot is really such a good, good album. It's really good. Yeah.
All right, so
great lists. Cool. This was a good one. I like this.
Hey, this is Steve and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Thank you, Risa, for coming on, and I know that you're getting your second beep later. So you'll be double beep later. And you know, the world is opening up and the world's going to get back to normal. And we are going to see shows, and I'm going to hug you so hard the next time I see you.
I know.
And thank you for being here always, and thank you for your ideas, and thank you for being, and I've said this before a million times and I'll say it again, thank you for being the calm to my crazy. And next time around, we're going to talk about some fun topic. I have no idea. We're going to keep doing the classic rock thing. We might do that. There's a couple that I have on the pike that I would like to talk about to Risa, so I will do that off camera. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Go to all the cool places you get podcast stuff from and give us a review and a rating. And, you know, just thank you for taking your time to listen to us, because we really appreciate it. And
yes, we do.
And we will see you next time. And Risa and I are signing off on Is This Your Playlist?
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist? If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please join Kedrick and Risa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.